Today's episode of the Film Stage Show is brought to you by Mubi, a curated streaming service dedicated to elevating great cinema from around the globe. For your free 30-day trial subscription, go to mubi.com/filmstage. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the Film Stage Show, the movie podcast for filmstage.com. As always, I'm your host, Brian J. Rowan. With me today, we have Robin Barr. Woo-hoo. We also have with us a special guest who will come on for our review of Love Lies Bleeding, the newest film from director Rose Glass, this one starring Kristen Stewart and Katie O'Brien. Before we get into that, all the usual front matter from us. You can, of course, find us on Twitter at Film Stage Show, Facebook, The Film Stage Show, emails podcast at filmstage.com, and go to patreon.com/thefilmstageshow to become patron of this fine institution. For as little as $1 an episode, you get access to our Slack channel, where we have all kinds of crazy-ass conversations. You can see the hilarious picture that I posted of the occupancy of the theater that I saw Love Lies Bleeding in, which I felt like a real 12-year-old for posting, but I had to tell someone. Again, that's patreon.com/thefilmstageshow. $1 an episode. Helps us to produce this podcast. What else? We are also brought to you by Mubi. Mubi is a curated streaming service that is dedicated to elevating great cinema from around the globe. From iconic directors to emerging auteurs, there's always something new to discover. With Mubi, each and every film is hand-selected, so you explore the best of cinema, streaming anytime, anywhere. Wanted to talk about Mami Wada. Have you heard about this, Robin?
Not the film, but I have heard the term Mami Wada.
Oh, whoa, really?
Yes.
What do you know of the term?
It's like it's a water spirit that's associated with parts of Africa, like West Africa, and I don't really know much about it.
According to this movie's description, in the oceanside village of Ii, locals worship the mermaid deity Mami Wada and look to guidance from the healer Mama Efe. But when children begin to die and disappear and doubt is sowed amongst the people, Mama Effie's protege and daughter must save their village and restore Mami Wada's glory. So this sounds super cool. This is a film from this year, not this year. It's not 2023 anymore. From 2023.
As much as we wish.
I can't remember anything. So go and check it out. They've also got their local special program, Takashi Kitano, Destroy All Yakuza. And they're showing three titles. Fireworks, Kiku Jiro, and Brother. So check those out as well. Because you are a fine listener of ours, and because we love you, you should go to mubi.com/filmstage for a free 30-day trial. Again, that is mubi.com/filmstage for a free 30-day trial of Mubi on us. So that is that. Robin Barr, how have you been? What's up?
I'm good. Watched a lot of movies this week. We finally watched Paris, Texas, which I really like.
Paris, Texas? I'm sorry. No. That's like such a film bro thing to say.
It is such a film bro thing. Trust me.
Do you even know Wim Wenders? Like,
I don't. This was my first Wim Wenders. Speaking of Europeans who have a take on Americana,
yes.
Which we get into in the podcast, but I had never seen it before and I really enjoyed it because, you know, my feeling about it is that it starts out as this kind of like obfuscated desert, almost like Lynchian, kind of like, I don't know what's going on here. These like two guys kind of wandering and everything is a little confusing. And one guy just like doesn't speak. And then it turns into like Kramer versus Kramer. I mean, not fully, it's not like so melodrama.
Yeah, I was about to say that is definitely a way to put it. <It's>,
but that's the part I actually really liked of the movie. And there's a little boy in it who is sort of caught between families and it's actually played by Karen Black's son. And he's really good in the movie. And Natasha Kinski almost steals the whole thing in her 15 minutes. I thought there were so many like perfect individual scenes and I enjoyed it. But then when I looked up on Letterboxd, you had given it only 3 stars out of 5, which to me is again, like 58%.
It's 60%, first of all, but also like, it's still good. I can't even remember. I know we did a podcast on this, and I know I like.
Yeah, I hadn't
warmly
listened.
Of it, but like, yeah, mm-hmm. I my main recollection.
Wait, can I guess what you had issues with? This is my theme of the episode.
I would love that. Yeah, you have just been doing this the entire. Yeah. By the way, we've already recorded the review that you're about to hear, so we're already making allusions.
We're
to stuff that
foreshadowing.
Will yeah. Welcome
so my
to Tenet.
Guess. My guess that one of the reasons that you might not have like super loved this movie is because it's essentially about a woman who leaves her child, and eventually there's a reconciliation or a reunification between the woman and the child where they are, you know, you kind of assume they're going to be living together. And I think you would find that false because if a parent, because in your opinion, if a parent leaves a child, it's for a good reason.
Oh no, if a parent leaves a child, that parent's a fucking monster.
Well, but what I'm saying is like there shouldn't be a reunification because the parent has made a choice and they need to live with that.
No, I don't know. I'm not going to say no cuz like it's possible depending on when we recorded that episode that might have been how I was feeling. But no, I mean, like, I actually last year I watched and read a lot of art that was about mothers leaving children. Mm. Lessons by Ian McEwan and what's the one with Jesse Eisenberg, Fleischman in Trouble?
Yeah.
There were a couple others. I feel like I just watched one recently. Anyway, so that's the thing. I feel like I maybe was just on your side where it's like, oh, this last part's really good. Where has this been? My main recollection of the movie is just Dean Stockwell saying Travis over and over again or calling him Trav. And I feel like maybe that's part of it. I'm just like, God damn it. Just shut up.
There's anyway. A lot of just like nyum, nyum, nyum at the beginning.
There is a lot of nyum, nyum, nyum at the beginning. But it's a good movie. You know, it's a three. I'd still say it's good. Wow. This movie is 2.5 hours long.
It was long. It was a long one.
Like everything I'm learning about this movie, I'm like, wow, Jesus. It's apparently on HBO Max or Max, the one to watch for HBO. So if anyone is interested in that, check it out.
Yeah. Definitely enjoyed it.
I rewatched Glass Onion.
Why?
I don't know. I was looking for something to like half watch while I was doing something else. And I like Knives Out. And I remember not super caring for Glass Onion. And
yeah, none of us really were that into it. Maybe
yeah,
Bill was.
I feel like probably I'm still like just fine with it, but I feel like minus the disappointment coming off of Knives Out and knowing that it wasn't going to be as good. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is fine.
You appreciated it more having been non-shocked. Like you're out of the shock of it.
Yeah. I was able to appreciate a little more the construction of it. And I still have some of the same problems that I had. Like, why is this the ending? Like, what are we doing here? What are we really trying to say about this like clean energy technology? But I was a little less perturbed about it feeling like more of a first film than Knives Out did. And it felt like a step back. And I was just like, yeah, you know,
it absolutely
allowed
is.
To collapse a little bit. It's not a failure by any means, but it's definitely a step back from.
It's a sophomore slump in terms of this type of franchise.
Yeah, but that's fine. I'm sure the third through fifth will be better. I can't even remember how many of these are getting made.
I don't know.
And I'm still looking forward to it because I still like Benoit Blanc. Yeah, so that's it. I don't know. I started doing bonsai plants.
Oh, I thought that was a joke.
No. Clearly, you were not really following me on Instagram.
I do.
Uh-huh. You would have seen my bonsais on Instagram. Instagram.com/BrianJRowan to see my bonsais.
Wait, now I'm literally going to look that up. Where is it in your stories? Because
No, it's like an
those.
Actual post I made. That's how important these things are to me. I didn't want them to be ephemeral.
Oh, was this the thing with your... I was focused on the backsplash.
Oh, it's a really nice
like,
backsplash.
Wow, what a really nice backsplash.
Dude, that backsplash is incredible.
I thought you were showing up the backsplash.
I finally paid off my kitchen upgrade, by the way. So I know everyone was very concerned about that.
Okay, your bonsais, I would say, are nascent.
Yes, I know. I literally just created them. They're not, you know, like 27 years old. They're like literally 4 days old.
I got they are plants. Embryonic. I got
yeah. They're incipient bonsais. They're neonates. I don't know what you call an early bonsai, but anyway, super excited to be here to talk about Love Lies Bleeding, right?
Yes.
Ramen, we're excited for this.
Wait, is this a question?
Yeah. Are you excited? Are you excited to talk about Love Lies Bleeding? I'm trying to pretend like we haven't already talked about it.
I'm just like, why do I hear banging in the background?
You are just incredibly bad at like production. Like every time we do this out of order.
I'm so guileless.
The last time we did this out of order, you were like trying to prep the guests for like all the front matter. I was like, we have this guest for an hour. We're not doing the front matter. It's like, oh, okay. Well, then maybe we'll do this. I'm like, no, we're jumping right into the review. Stop. And then it felt like you never fully recovered. This time you did much better.
Thanks.
Oh, man. Anyway, Love Lies Bleeding again. Directed by Rose Glass. Written by Rose Glass and Veronica Tofilska? Well, no one's going to help me out with that. I'm on my own there. This movie stars Kristen Stewart, Katie O'Brien, Dave Franco, Jenna Malone, and apparently the daughter of Baryshnikov? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm for sure assuming that is. I think it is. I'm for sure inferring that this is daughter of Baryshnikov.
I am positive that that is what I believe.
I'm now gonna just confirm it. Just like give me,
we're gonna briefly ombuds ourselves.
Anna Baryshnikov, is her name,
yeah.
And Mikhail Baryshnikov is her game, her father's game.
And by game, you mean dad,
yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, we're about to talk about it. We'll have our super awesome guest join us right after this trailer.
The excitement in the air is palpable. The atmosphere is electric. A celebration of history in the making.
What is this place? You're looking pretty good in there. There's some pretty serious lines going. Yeah?
So that was the trailer for Love Lies Bleeding, which is out in theaters now, co-written and directed by Rose Glass and starring Kristen Stewart. I don't know why I hesitated there. I feel like I was
because it's like Kristen, Kirsten.
I almost said Kirsten, and that's wrong.
Very wrong.
Katie O'Brien, Dave Franco, Jenna Malone, many others. We are here to talk about it. We begin with our guest who's just joined us. Lily Murata, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing good. I'm so glad you guys invited me on to talk about this movie because it was insane. So,
very true. Before you give your nutshell thoughts, would you also like to just introduce yourself to our listening audience?
Yes. Film lover, masshole. I'm a comedian and I co-host the podcast Celebrity Book Club with Stephen and Lily. Yeah, fan of watching Kristen Stewart interviews. So that's what I'm all about.
And outfit choices?
Yeah, and outfit choices.
It's been extreme lately. I'm like, wow, I didn't need to see that much crotch, but maybe other people did. I don't know.
Wait, like in movies or during interviews and on like red carpets?
Just like red carpet.
See, I am outside of this world of like red carpet stuff. So I'm going to really lean heavily on y'all for that because that's...
We can share much about that. I just want to say this is like a very special day for me because I'm a huge fan of Celebrity Book Club. Like I've been listening for a long time. I'm a patron of this podcast.
Oh,
the first podcast that I've ever paid.
Okay, that's board.
Is this like a conflict of interest? Like, is this you doing a disclosure at the top?
Yeah, I'm
just so you know, whatever you say, I'm gonna agree with
everything that Robin says now has the asterisk of
well, like, and I have to, you know, you're paying me actually, I have to agree with you. So,
true, paper, you have to, you know, I'm an only child, everybody
you don't want to lose that patronage,
no,
Everybody should watch. Everybody should listen to this podcast and the VIP lounge because it's hilarious. And it's what's great about it is not just like slobbering all over like the books that you read that are by celebrities, but you really dive into like the cult of personality that goes into what makes them a celebrity. And it's just so funny. And I love it. And your chemistry with Steven is great. And you guys are like childhood best friends, which also gets into it. And from what I understand, you're Cantabrigians.
We are Cantabrigian. Well, I am. Stephen is not. I'm a Cantabrigian.
Because I live in Cambridge.
Of what that
Oh,
means.
You live in Cambridge.
I live in Central Square.
Stop.
So when you're like Shang Cho, I'm like, yeah.
Wow. No, I mean, today was one of those nights. I wish I could have Shang Cho right now.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's going on. Can I just like go trim my bonsais while y'all hang out?
Okay. Don't be so rude. Anyway, next time you do a live show, we're definitely going to go. So yeah, just want to say this is a special day. And we definitely want to know what you thought about Levelized Bleeding.
Absolutely. Well, one, that was a beautiful description of my pod. Thank you very much. But well, first, so Levelized Bleeding. Okay. The more and more I step away from it, it's one of those movies you're like, well, I had so much fun watching it. I don't know if that was a good movie or not. I think it was like a super fun, campy, kind of queer noir, though, with that I definitely like enjoyed. It was definitely like more, I guess, like graphic, and it was more like gross out than I thought it was going to be. I think I thought it was going to be like, it's stylized, but I think I thought mm-hmm. it was going to be like less like I'm putting fingers and like open flesh.
Less body horror.
Yeah, it was a little more horror, which I didn't have a problem with it. I was kind of surprised. And yeah, I mean, Kristen Stewart, as always, I feel like she has taken the flame from Shane from L Word, and has, I don't know if you guys have watched the L Word.
I have.
But yes, she, you know, the prototype of kind of the badass butch smoking
extremely thin.
Yeah, rail thin, you know. All girls like love her, and she was like, oh, it's stressing me out. Like, I just need to like eat my like dirty meal and walk away. So I love to see that on film. And those are my nutshell thoughts. I'll pass the torch.
All right. The torch is good passed thoughts. To Robin. Robin, what did you think?
All right. I probably am gonna be the most positive one here, just because, you know, when I watch a movie and I experience the movie, I'm like, this is it. This is the snapshot of it. I had a good time. I mean, it's definitely an imperfect film, but I left the theater being like, that was good. And my husband's like, are you sure? And I'm like, just like had a good time.
Wait, was he in the theater with you, or was he
saw
just...
it with me?
Okay. That makes
sense. He was like,
better.
That was okay. And I'm like, I like loved it. I mean, again, it's an imperfect film. You know, I was really impressed with Katie O'Brien. I think this might be her film debut.
No, she was in Ant-Man and the Wasp, apparently.
Thank you. Never mind. Thank you. I don't know Marvel. Either way.
You know, I didn't see that movie. I'm just on the IMDb page. Oh, okay.
Right. You're just...
And I went on a real wiki hole of Katie O'Brien, because during the movie... I guess spoiler, not spoiler, whatever. She's a like insane bodybuilder, and like there's like all these like close up scenes of like the muscles rippling. And I was like, is this a stunt person or like is she a bodybuilder? And it was like her track is so insane. Of like was like black belt karate cop in Indiana, then moved to LA and like got roles on like the CW and then Marvel.
I mean, if you got a niche, just use it.
Yeah.
I thought she was great. I loved every time she was preening as part of the competition rehearsal stuff. Mm-hmm. That just blew me away. Like, I thought those scenes were beautiful. I like the magical realism that's in this movie. I won't get too into the spoilers of that, but like there are some elements of foreshadowing of things that happen at the end. There was like, oh, that makes sense that why they like referred to, you know, this piece of literature or whatever. But it just worked well for me. And, you know, so I know Brian didn't care for the film, and I wanted...
Wow, way to spoil my opinion. Wait.
But
you're
I'll
not
going to
let me do it? You just want to... All right. Also,
no,
I have
I'm
to say
guess.
Right now, Katie O'Brien in Twisters, which is another reason to be excited for Twisters.
Good. Well, we're definitely going to watch it. I think it's literally on the schedule, but...
I am amped.
What else is
Twisters.
Coming up?
Yeah.
Wait, it's the guy who did
Twisters.
Minari.
Oh,
the sequel to Twister from 96.
Oh, okay. That makes... She is seeing her act in Levelized Bleeding. I'm like, I really could see her running away from a Twister.
Or like holding on to something while trying not to be blown away by a Twister. Maybe like
maybe
lifting
like,
something heavy
leave.
That had been dropped by a Twister.
Absolutely. Like, the house is blowing away and she's like, I won't leave here for a second.
So I think one of the reasons that Brian did not like this film is
what is
because,
up with this?
No, no, just
I can't
listen, just
you're
listen. Because
all over my opinion right now.
I'm not stomping, I'm jumping off. So I think you didn't like it because they're a toxic couple. And even
no, I
though,
didn't care about that. I thought that was great.
Okay,
actually.
Never mind. Because that's one of the elements I liked about it is that, like, they're all, you know, everything that happens in the film, like, they get together, there's crime that happens, there's revenge that happens, there's like bodies kind of piling up. And no matter what, Kristen Stewart's like, but you're my girl, to Katie O'Brien's character. But they're kind of like, they bring out the worst in each other. And I don't know, it's like I feel like I'm supposed to root for them, but also like they are, you know, one of those couples where like it, like they're probably better off with other people or in jail or something. But, you know, I just kind of went with it. Like, and at one point, Katie O'Brien's character is like getting taken care of by Kristen Stewart. You know, she like has a place to stay and she's, this woman's making her breakfast. And then she's like, next time if you make me eggs, just you could do just the whites. Oh. And I was like, this bitch.
Oh my God. That was, so that was a part was when I was on board with the movie. Cause I was like, damn, you have been in this town for 36 hours. You like basically, what is it called? Is it called para jumping or parachuting? What, like, what's the thing where you go to a city and you hook up with someone just so you don't have to get a hotel?
Grifting?
Oh.
Grifting?
Para jumping?
No, it's not.
I like that.
It's sort of like grifting, but like there's, I'm pretty sure it's like paratrooping or parachuting or something
okay.
like that.
Okay, we'll have to Urban Dictionary that
someone
one.
Someone look that up. but yeah,
right,
I
you
was
hook
like,
up with someone and they're like, oh, perfect, I don't have to get a hotel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you just go on Grindr or Tinder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or you go to like a bar or something, you hook up, or in this case, you go to a gym and you get some roids and then you go and you have sex. And then the next morning you tell how your eggs are preferred. It's nuts.
I guess the worst part was when Kristen Stewart just gave her steroids. Like, maybe she was the bad one.
Look,
now that I think about it.
No one in this movie is squeaky clean. Everyone's
right.
Got a thing. Yeah, no, that was, I saw that and I like laughed in the theater. I was like, this is incredible.
Yeah, I liked how like bad they were.
This is also like the most toxic, like leaning into the cliche of like how quickly lesbians like bunk up together.
It's like the wagoneering.
Yeah, it's just like, yep, here we go. You want to move
in? Yeah, and her, she was like, oh, like, yeah, and being like, I'm actually, it also is very, I feel like lesbian would be like instantly giving. She's like, well, no, I have diet preferences also. And like, I am gluten free. And like, I know I'm living here for free, but like, I can't do yoga.
It's a Lex post.
Like, yeah. And she's like, that's actually totally fine.
420 friendly, but like maybe not in the house.
So what?
And the cat is always like, there
oh, yeah,
too.
That cat.
Yep.
Cat's like licking up blood.
What's like the opposite of coded? What if, is it just like tattooed? It's just like stamped on. It's like,
it's text, not subtext.
Yeah, exactly. It's super text.
Yeah. So where did it go downhill for you, Ryan?
I don't know. I think it just kept going on. So my nutshell thoughts are like, there are aspects of this film that I enjoyed, Katie O'Brien being one of them. Appreciate the way that she spells her last name. That was kind of it. I really liked her. And I was interested because I love like a crime film or a crime story. I am a fan of the concept of crime. Law does not
crime.
Appeal to me. Yeah.
Okay, so the horrorness of it, you were also.
The horrorness of it was weird to me, and I found there was something. I was sort of turned off. And this is maybe not like a nutshell thought, but I guess it goes into why I had some issues with it. I was not a fan of the way that they tried to make Katie's body grotesque.
Yeah. Mm.
It really struck me as strange because I was like, this is kind of like, I don't like bodybuilding generally. Man, woman, doesn't matter. If a person reaches a certain level of like sculpted muscle, I just find it very strange and off-putting, but not in a way that I'd ever like tell someone about. It's just not for me. But I found the look into that world to be pretty interesting. And Katie O'Brien is such like a great personality and like really like lit up the screen. I was like so into it. And I was kind of appreciated that the movie at first appeared to just be like, this is a woman who's like a bodybuilder and is like really in touch with her body. And I liked how they kind of gave the sheen of like, you know, I was overweight and I was bullied and like this became a thing for me. And then every once in a while it would just be like, but look at this. These
and then her like muscles are rippling.
And the muscles are rippling. And I'm like, it's striking me as a little strange that you're trying to repel me maybe by showing
like fetishizing her body.
And so that kind of turned me off. And I also then started to think, what kind of movie am I watching? And then the more stuff that kept happening, I think it just got further away from the movie that I thought I was watching, that I was enjoying, and pushing more towards this other thing that I, you know, clearly other people can enjoy. But for me, it was just not working for me at all.
So you're like, I thought I was watching this sort of like dark romance.
I thought it was what I assumed was going to happen was, and this is not the movie's fault, but this is kind of what I thought up until some stuff started happening, that it was going to be like the typical kind of film noir of like, you know, a femme fatale meets a, you know, disgraced private eye or whatever. And then like, oh, we have to like rob this gangster to go try to like make our dreams real. Right. And then we're on the run. Mm-hmm. And so I was
That's what I thought it was going to be, too. I thought it was going to be
like Drive Away Dolls.
I don't know. I didn't see that movie.
That's true.
Well, or is it going to be more like, which I feel like the most like kind of iconic, like lesbian kind of crime noir, which is Bound. Which is, I would say,
it is like absolutely Bound-ish.
I thought it was going to be something like Lou is like, you know, I'm already giving you roids and stuff, but like, you know, they're going to do a drug deal. But then like Jackie starts working at Ed Harris, older Lou the elder, his gun range, and like clearly he's like a criminal and he's probably got a lot of cash. So I'm like, these two things are going to collide, or maybe they're going to like rob him to try to like get the money to go to Vegas so she can take part in this thing. And like, oh, now we're going to have like the drug dealers and the gun runners coming after them. And instead it like really goes kind of off the wall.
So it really isn't Bound. Like you're set up for Bound and then it's not at all.
Yeah. And then I just found that to be a less compelling story, which again, it's not the fault of the movie that it wanted to tell a different story, but I, as the viewer, did not find it enjoyable. And then it just kept getting stranger, which again is not in and of itself a bad thing, but it continued to alienate me. And so at the end of the movie, I walked out and I was like, I don't know how you pitch that in a way that is honest, that would make people want to see it. And I don't know that there's any way I could have walked into it and walked out enjoying it.
It's definitely messy.
Were you, okay, here's a question. Were you like having fun though, like in the movie? Or were you like, this has gotten kind of, lost me a little.
It was definitely like, I had fun for a little while and then it started to lose me. I think it lost me later than I expected it to. Like, you hearing me say this, as we're not in a spoiler section, I can't, like, talk about too much of what happened. But no, I was on board fairly deep. And then I was just like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, this is crazy. Like, this is going...
I feel like I wanted more campiness, but not in the way that they were doing, if that makes sense.
Less magical realism.
I'm not really a fan of fantasy. And I was like, the magical realism didn't really do it for me.
Yeah, I could have done with kind zero of like magical realism.
And I don't know if this is a spoiler about the end scene.
Well, we could just jump in.
Yeah, okay, let's just say
spoilers. Spoiler, they like both of the like the Katie O'Brien becomes like giant at the end for this.
She like hulks out.
The 1,000 fetishes were discovered.
Right. And it's like this, it's big. Like, and it was, there wasn't enough, honestly, in the beginning for it to like it felt to me like a gag in a way. Like they were like, look, now we're making her giant. But like, I was like, what is this the payoff of?
She was sort of
fun to watch.
Yeah.
This, she was sort of giant in the scene where she beats Dave Franco to death, right? Like,
yes, right. Where she when she like claws the chair, and it's supposed to be like, oh, now she's hulking out and becomes right. giant.
And I in seeing that initially was like, I don't know that I love the invocation of this Hulk imagery. And then the movie was like, oh, that's too bad, because we're really gonna lean into that.
They really did. And so I kind of pointed out to this like foreshadowing. So at some point you see an image of like Gulliver's travels, where they're like the very famous scene of like Gulliver like being tied up by the Lilliputians, and he's like,
yeah,
you know, he's not mobile or anything. And I was thinking, like, why are they alluding to something about somebody being a giant? And I was just like, why? Like, why are they showing this? So then that pays off a little bit later. But I agree with Lily that like it kind of randomizes that climactic scene, as opposed to like saying something about the story or like her journey as a character or whatever. I mean, I still enjoyed it cinematically, but I agree. It's like, it's messy.
It is quite messy. Yeah. That whole last scene, I was pretty much out from the moment that Daisy got shot.
Daisy was Brushikov's daughter.
Yes.
Oh, and okay. Yeah, I was actually into her character as like kind of like creepy horror movie like mess girl.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know, so that
like a horny girl.
Yeah, horny girl being like, and with like the bad teeth. So like, there's this character in the movie that's like always like so horny for Kristen Stewart. Kristen Stewart is like, no man, I have to work. Like, I have to go to the diner.
Dig shit.
Do you think that girl is like straight until she met Katie? I mean, not Katie. Do you think that character was straight until she met Kristen Stewart?
Yeah, I think that's what we're supposed to believe, because then Kristen Stewart does like the classic like kind of line to when she meets Katie O'Brien in the gym, and she's like, you're not one of those, are you? Like, I'm done kind of just like turning girls and them being obsessed with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like such a like badass player.
Oh, really? I thought it was gonna be like, I'm tired of these straight girls using me for fun and then like ditching me when they find a Dave Franco type. But I don't, you know, it could probably be read either way. I'm almost
positive. I think it's either way. Honestly, like, it could be either.
Yeah, but well, especially with how quickly they like latched onto one another. And like, because she's like, you're not one of these like straight girls who's just like looking to have fun or whatever. I can't
remember. Although she was super mad when she found out that Katie is bi.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd be mad if you know, my girlfriend fucked mulleted Dave Franco. God, the hair in this movie is just so awful.
Lily, you were saying that it was a journey to get you to the movie theater.
Oh, we lost Lily.
No. Oh, no.
You're back.
I'm back. Sorry, that was so weird. Like, my computer just went black and then restarted.
What was the last thing you recall?
We started talking about bisexuality, and I'm like, oh no, like, Lily's being really quiet.
I'm like, so mad. You're like, oh, I guess like Lily. Really,
I thought you were really upset that I was like, no, I think that she was saying the straight girl thing because she's actually tired of being dropped by straight girls. And then I thought you were just like, fuck that.
How dare you? I've come back.
No
on.
Straight girl could ever just drop Kristen Stewart.
Right. No, that's definitely also a possibility that girls are dropping case two.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, though. I mean, like, clearly she's not in a good relationship, so it could be either or.
Yeah. Funny thing, when you brought up driveway dolls, I think it's like, I don't know what Rose Glass's sexuality is, but I think it's funny that
I think
these two movies have come out. Driveway Dolls and Love Lies Bleed came out at the same time. Driveway Dolls is like starring Margaret like Qualley, who's like married to Jack Antonoff, and then is written by Ethan Coen's wife, but who identifies as a lesbian, and they have this like open marriage where I think she can just do, they can both kind of do their thing, but they have like a platonic marriage. And then Love Lies Bleeding came out like starring the most like famous like lesbian actor, Kristen Stewart, and Katie O'Brien, rising buff cop lesbian star. And then like also by this like queer director, and it's like Driveway Dolls is this like, I'm curious, I haven't seen it, but it's kind of being like the straight, the girl straight version, but about lesbians.
Yeah. I mean, so we were going to do the podcast on it, and then I got sick, and then I didn't want to inflict it on Brian because I thought
but
it was
this
so
one
un-
you were
funny.
Super eager to inflict on me.
Well, I liked this one. The thing with Driveway Dolls is it's just like, it was like one of those movies where I was completely stony faced for the entire experience of the movie. Like I maybe half smiled at one point. It's supposed to be funny. It's a comedy, but it's just like so grating. Wow. You know, I'm willing to hear other opinions of it. Like I was hoping to get a guest for that podcast that really liked it, but then it just never came together. But
you're like, I couldn't find anyone in the world.
Well, literally nobody saw that.
Well,
movie,
no, a lot of people. I mean, there were some critics, even some queer critics that liked it. So there must be something that I'm missing. I just didn't find it particularly funny. But like, yeah, I want to see more road trip movies about lesbians.
And this, like, one was not a road trip movie, and I was very upset.
I know, it really should
have
been.
I was also expecting, because the trailer was like a lot of cars and like, you know, it's Kristen Stewart being like,
Dusty Rhodes. What?
Yeah, I have like an amazing vintage truck, of course.
Oh, it's in Vegas? Oh, yeah. Look, dude, if someone starts in the desert and then has to get to Vegas, it's probably going to be a good movie. And yet.
Right. But then they kind of, I feel like they fumbled the bag on the Vegas road trip. They just show KDO. I'm keeping like everyone's name, like Rozo. It's very 60s. I'm like, what are their names? It's like KDO, Rozo,
no
Brady,
clue what
Ryan. Just some Irish lasses.
KDO Brian.
Right. So KDO Brian's character like needs to get to Vegas and is like, but then just kind of like is hopped up on so many drugs and then falls asleep and, you know, hitches a ride. And I'm like, they
legitimately
kind of missed
that whole time. I was like, when are they going to tell me this is a dream sequence?
Right. It does. It did, like, and that's why I felt the magical realism. It did feel a little cop out to be like, and now we're big or something like that. And also, I just feel like they missed an opportunity for her and Kristen Stewart to do like a badass road trip in the truck with like, where they're stealing from more creepy hotel owners and like making out at a weird bar. Like, I feel like we missed
like a heist.
Yeah. And heist. And instead we just got like Kristen Stewart being like, oh, I need to like stay.
Yeah, it was weird.
my abused sister.
So what happens in the movie is Dave Franco's knocking Jenna Malone around. And finally, well, I was going to say finally Kristen Stewart has enough, but she doesn't. She's not sure what to do. But Katie O'Brien, who is roid raging it out, goes,
and her girlfriend of like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I don't know. I don't like, how long would I have to date someone to murder someone in a roid rage incident for them?
That's a good question.
I guess
that time or intensity.
How it depends how hot they were, I guess.
Probably how hot they were, yeah. Also, I've never done roids, so I don't know how that would affect me, but I assume it wouldn't make my decision-making any better. So anyway, Katie O'Brien goes and murders Dave Franco, as we all have wanted to do from time to time.
She, like, more than just murders him. She, like, crushes his body.
Yeah.
He's, like,
his
liquid.
His jaw is
his
flopping
face
around.
Is- Yeah, the flapping, I was like, oh, wow, okay, we're doing flapping
like,
face.
This randomly became an S. Craig Zoller film for a little bit. And then Kristen Stewart's like, oh, Jesus, all right. Well, and then they did you not like my impression of Kristen Stewart?
Oh, Jesus.
Lip biting, eyes.
Oh, my God.
Sideways.
Anyway, so then.
She's so much better in this than she was in the Diana movie.
I didn't even see the Diana movie.
Oh, I saw the.
Oh, Spencer.
I mean,
yeah.
This is her natural state. Mm-hmm. Again, of being like cigarettes, beer, like vintage truck.
And so skinny.
Spencer was like an hour and a half long perfume commercial.
Absolutely. But that's the director.
Like,
that's
right. Because he also did the Jackie movie. Mm-hmm.
Which I liked, but I didn't see Spencer for some
reason. And he's going to do the Maria Callas movie with Angelina Jolie.
Oh.
That's
going
to be interesting.
I really liked Kristen Stewart in Underwater. I don't know if there's a parallel to be drawn. That's just her with a, you know, Well, I was going to say unnatural, but that's not right. Non-normative haircut and being skinny. I don't know. Am I the only one who saw Underwater?
I did not say. I'm like, I don't even know what Underwater is.
Guys, Underwater. Okay, Underwater is Kristen Stewart is like a like engineer on like an underwater drilling rig. And then there's some sort of like seismic event. And they're like, oh, no, this rig is like 2 miles underwater. That's the title. But we've got to try to get out. But oh no, like section C is crushed. So we got to get to section D where the bathysphere
is. This is absolutely a Brian movie. But there sharks?
No, there's no sharks. There's monsters though. Suddenly there's like deep ones from like a Lovecraftian mythos. It's really good. I really enjoyed it. It is a good like probably hour and a half long dark and scary movie where Kristen Stewart gets to do like a little Ripley thing.
I see myself not watching that, but I can also, I can see her being also like really, I can see her being really good in that, but yeah.
Also not caring. Like I'm looking at my scrying glass and I don't see myself watching this movie.
Did you guys see these like Rolling Stone interviews that Kristen Stewart was doing? Cause she got like the cover for this movie and she's in like a cut off gray sweatshirt and like chain.
Oh, on the cover. Yes.
Yes. And then there was all these like little promo interviews and she was like, I think it's actually really cool to be embarrassing. She was like, why would you want to look like perfect every day? Like, look what I'm wearing. It's like, I'm such a mess. And it's kind of that thing that like a celebrity does. That's like, look how this just like, cut off gray sweatshirt is like perfectly hanging off my thin frame.
I was
like,
about to say, this makes me hate her. Is that all right?
Yeah.
It's but it's like what you and Steven talk about is like every memoir is like somebody's like, I was just so skinny and I had like no boobs and I was so tall and like I was so ugly. And they were like, obviously they became a model.
Right. So beautiful. And she's in this like cool, like big chain. She's just like, yeah, like. Well, I wouldn't want to wear like a gown every day. Like being cringe is amazing. And I think, yeah, it's just, I love watching Kristen Stewart. She is so literally, she's embarrassing in a way that I don't think she knows she is. Like she thinks she's the opposite of her version.
She's a different kind of embarrassing than the embarrassing that she was claiming to be, is what you're saying.
And so that's embarrassing.
That's like the inception of embarrassment, just three layers deep in the embarrassment.
Oh, but then at the same time, I feel like, you know, it was a lot of fun to watch her. But then, yeah, I guess it's like it seems like we all wanted this to be, yeah, a road trip movie, the magical realism. I also have heard, I mean, just from two people, I wonder if this is like there is some discourse on this.
Anecdata.
About the like. Because it's like, is this queer movie? And it's like, oh, they're shooting up like steroids. And is like now kind of more in this like day and age, is that going to be like more misconstrued as like, oh, so you're shooting up with like testosterone and now like being angry.
That's not how I read it. Personally. I mean,
that's not also how I read it either. But I feel like it's something, some things I've seen on the,
I've
you know,
definitely
the worldwide app.
The term roid rage a couple times in this episode. So.
But right, I do think it is more, it's like it was being such a like bodybuilder movie and not having really a comment on like hormones.
Like gender.
Yeah, gender. It was this is about 80s.
Purely the chemical reality of what happens with bodybuilders. Especially in the 80s before. You know what's funny? This is like one of these weird synchronicities. Literally the night before I went and saw this movie, I watched the HBO faux documentary The Tour de Pharmacy, which is about like, it's like about like a non-existent Tour de France where like every single person was on like a billion drugs. And so I was just like, wow, I've really got like a lot of steroid narratives happening on my weekend and I don't know why that should be. But it also gave me a good like baseline for knowledge of anabolic steroids. And so when she was getting steroids, I was like, oh, interesting. I kind of know what's probably
going to
happen.
Ooh, I have context
now.
About
Hooray!
This.
Yeah.
I'm also like, would you have wanted more time in the, maybe I'm like more time in the kind of at the competition in my life?
Yes.
A little bit.
One hundo.
What's funny is I'm like, you've got this subculture, I guess we can call it, And we're not spending any time in it at all. Like, she's working out, sure. She's doing her
Well, the subculture is being like a dirtbag in Nowheresville.
Well, I was talking about the bodybuilding.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're focusing on the wrong subculture.
Yeah, but like, and then she shows up and I was like, oh, is this going to be the type of thing where like she didn't realize like how much went into this. Like, all the people are getting spray tanned. All the people are in like their specific things. But then no, she like pulls out a bikini. She's like got her hair and makeup all done and she looks totally fucking fine. I thought it was going to be like in Little, this is a terrible parallel to draw. I thought it was going to be like in Little Miss Sunshine when they show up for the Little Miss Sunshine pageant.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, we're in like a different pond.
It's fully
with
like
different
Jean
fish.
Benet land.
Yeah. Like we were like, okay, in like the triple A's, but now we're in the big time and we're not ready. But she was like totally fine and appeared to be doing great until she vomited up Kristen Stewart on the stage.
That was so men. Like, do you remember movie that we hated? Anyway,
this movie made me think of a lot of other movies and never in like a good way.
See, I like body horror. I will say like, this is my second Res Last. I saw St. Maud and that movie's just like, okay, it's.
I didn't see St. Maud.
Nothing you
I really
haven't really
to see
seen
Saint
before.
Maud.
It's
again,
just about like religious obsession. Yeah, it's.
Yeah. It's up my alley. What are you talking about?
It's totally you. That's why you have to see Household Saints.
That's why I've got to see Immaculate. That's why I've got to see Novitiate. That's why I've got to see. There's so many movies I haven't seen.
Yeah, you got to do your like
Margaret Qualley Novitiate. Yep.
I haven't read any of the like actual reviews for Love Lies Bleeding. Is it getting it good?
Nor have I. I have no concept.
It's mixed. I mean, I don't read a lot of reviews because I don't want to be tainted by other people's opinions, but. I've heard mixed things. Like, so, they really liked it at Sundance. Like, it was one of the big hits of Sundance.
Yeah, it had a lot of buzz coming.
Well, like, everything's a big hit at Sundance. What?
Oh, my God. Did you see all the reviews coming out of South by Southwest? There was not apparently a bad movie at that damn festival.
I know. That's why
festival
we're
fever
lucky,
is a real thing.
Oh, absolutely. You're
people
just, like,
at
under
South
the spell.
It's for everyone just to be like, I was at South by and everything I saw was amazing. And I was just in a conversation with other fellow amazing
I was
creators.
In the discourse.
Yeah.
Festival fever, both in terms of giving a lot of positive reviews and also getting violently ill afterwards.
I know. That was like a huge, like Sundance 2020 was just like the COVID patient zero land.
Yeah. New York and LA were gripped by Sundance COVID.
I kind of wonder if this movie will end up sort of like a cult hit in some ways.
I was wondering that too. I was like, is it almost trying too hard to
I think
end up
is.
a cult movie that it won't?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think that this movie is a little too aware of its potential as a cult movie, and therefore it becomes not that. I don't. Yeah.
One of my husband's chief criticisms of the movie was like he just felt like it was too repetitive, and you know I don't blame him because there's so much where there's like Kristen Stewart hemming and hawing about what to do about her sister's abusive husband, and then Katie O'Brien does something about it by like smashing him into bits, and then you see a lot of flashbacks of her dad's criminal empire. And you're like, you don't really know what her relationship with her dad is, except that she hates him. And so there's just like a lot of like mystery buildup, but nothing is like that mysterious.
Yeah. So yeah, it's that the whole like.
Kind like, of, did like, he kill the mother? Like, we don't know. We don't care.
Plan. Right. There was like so much backstory and like, oh, I have so much information on you. So basically, like, right when they like kill Dave Franco and. She's like, but people are going to see the smoke where we like lit his car on fire. And she's like, well, it's going to make them think like it's someone else because there's
they're
so much other stuff.
Down, there's other stuff. I was like that. Okay. So that was literally the part where I was like, I'm out. I can't.
Yeah. Where you're like, okay, so you're mad that your dad, you like helped your dad like kill all these people in like.
This is the part where I thought of the movie Stoker.
Oh, God.
I was like, oh, a father channeling his daughter's psychopathic impulses. This is Stoker. But then it's like not as and I don't even like Stoker that much, but this movie did not. There was the movie did so much building up.
Yeah.
And then it just none of that tension ever got like not even resolved or like released or channeled anywhere. I was like, okay, we've got so much going on. We got Dave Franco. We got the creepy gun range. We got Ed Harris with a giant grub. We've got the steroids.
Who eats? Oh, and by then, like Ed Harris, like he's so creepy because he eats like bugs.
He got so fucking mad.
But he's so creepy because he's bald, but he's got like the long hair.
Yeah, which was, I think that was the fun costume. I feel like that was really good.
He was playing into
styling
it
for him.
Yeah,
and then right, the whole backstory is that he is like runs guns and has like probably killed a lot of people over like running guns and like
Is that what it was? He's running them
what
into
my guess
Mexico?
Was. Yeah.
Do they need more guns in Mexico? I just don't know if that's like a really, if that's like a super, I guess in the
profitable,
80s maybe?
I think I so, know. Yeah. They're selling guns, drugs. Maybe he's so. Buying guns, importing, exporting, the classic.
He's buying them, classic. And then he's holding on to them, and then he's going to sell them back when the gun market goes up.
But I think that's like the writer definitely was like, wait, what's like a criminal enterprise for a man to do? Guns.
In the desert.
In the desert. The Mexico border. I heard that's a
tenth
place.
She is so British.
Right. Like just being like, oh, right. The Americans are always
it's
having
like
trouble
again,
with that.
It's like
Americans
this European director's take on Americana. It's like we see this all the time.
That's why everyone's hair sucks. That's why Kristen Stewart can't eat without smoking a cigarette and drinking half of a warm beer. I did not
there's
know
discourse
that,
on eggs
did not know Rose Glass was European. A lot of things are clicking into
she's
place
British
now. Yeah, once you said I was like, oh, of course she's British.
God,
because this
course.
Is her like western southwestern mm-hmm. noir. And I think also the bodybuilding thing also feels very like the fetish, like Americans are so crazy.
Absolutely.
First of all, I feel like that was Germany and Austria's fault. Second of all,
it's Arnold.
It's like
it's
some,
Arnold.
Yeah, exactly. It's some Arnold in the ancient Rome. But so, like, I'm on board with this movie. And when she kills Dave Franco, I'm like, this is it. They're going to get rid of the body. And then they're going to be like, oh,
and they're on the road.
This is perfect. We were already going to Vegas. Let's turn that into our reason to get out of town. We've been literally telling everyone for months we're going to Vegas so we can leave town without it seeming suspicious. Because this is a huge thing that everyone knows about. And instead she's like, we can't go to Vegas. You sticking around is a billion times more incriminating in this point.
No, it isn't. I agree with Kristen Stewart, but if she left town, it would be like,
yeah,
well,
I agree.
Obvious.
If she left town, oh, they would be on her.
No, they would not be on her because her girlfriend is going to Vegas to win a bodybuilding contest.
And they'd be like, okay, you just Google this and...
It's the 80s. There is no Google.
I know. But you know what I mean? Like,
that's why you're able to get away with it.
The dangerous part is that the FBI had already contacted her.
But here's the thing. If she had just dumped his car down the ravine and not lit it on fire, it would have been totally fine.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, but she did it to get it back to her daddy. Oh,
right.
She
wanted. That was the whole smoke thing, which was kind of, she was like,
yes.
And I'm going to light it up. So my dad gets in trouble. And like,
exactly.
You guys have heard me talk about how much I hate my dad.
But like, I'm not a direct snitch. I'm an indirect snitch.
Right. Over the last decade, she couldn't have just gone and lit that canyon on fire in it, like for a different reason. Like, why was this the moment?
She wasn't sure. Because she's still under his thrall. That's the thing. So, okay. I'm not saying I say that's a good aspect of the movie. I'm saying that's like my interpretation of it. But I will say one of the things I complained about to my husband was that so the movie Girl Fight with Michelle Rodriguez, like,
love that movie.
I watched that in college and my professor was like, say that again.
I said it's been a minute also since
I haven't seen it in 15 years. That's how old I am. But my professor was like, oh my god, like in movies you never see a chick beat up her dad. So I was like waiting for Kristen Stewart to like beat the shit out of her dad, and it just never happens.
Yeah, like, I'd find it more rewarding if they didn't do the we're getting huge and this man is turning tiny. If like if there was just a good old fashioned Western shootout.
Yeah,
or right, just like they seem to be building up towards.
Or pistol whip your dad. Okay. I don't know.
I don't know. I hate it when I do this, but I'm doing it anyway. The other thing is like, Kristen Stewart's like, for the love of God, will you just listen to me and stay away while I handle my dad? And I'm like, okay, this is the moment where Katie O'Brien finally just listens to Kristen Stewart.
It's a little communication.
And goes to the place and waits. And then Kristen Stewart rolls up and is like, I took care of it. We're going to be fine, blah, blah, blah. And instead, she turns into a giantess and comes and pins him to the ground. And I was just like, I don't know what we're doing here. Like, at that point, I'd kind of like...
But that's... Maybe this is re-emphasizing that they are a toxic couple that has communication problems. I mean, isn't that what happens at the end too? Like the very end where they're finally on the road and they're all happy. And then spoilers, like Daisy's still alive. The Baryshnikov daughter.
Still alive.
Yeah, she's still alive. She's like banging on the whatever, the pickup truck. And then Kristen Stewart has to go like ice her.
And that
was like, they're still bad.
In the desert. I feel like the best part is that they were, you know, so but like bad when she does murder. Like Kristen Stewart was kind of like, oh, whoa, like that sucks. But like, okay, I get it.
The part of the movie that I enjoyed the most was so Daisy's just been shot. Kristen Stewart is standing in her blood. And then Jackie like points the gun at her. And she, Kristen Stewart's reaction to that is like to step back against the door and go, whoa, what? And for whatever reason, she got me in that moment. Everything else I was less than charmed by.
So Lily, you said it was like a journey to get to the movie theater.
Oh yeah. It was a journey to get to the movie theater because in true, like lesbian fashion, it took like, I feel like told a friend, was like, oh yeah, I want to see Love Lies Bleeding. And I feel like I said that to like multiple friends. And then the scheduling of it somehow like got so crazy where everyone was like, I need to check my partners and I need to check my partner's partners. And then people text me like, okay, my girlfriend's friends actually like bought tickets, but now they've changed the tickets. Do we have like another ticket? So it was kind of
like
a wild
logistical hell.
It felt like a Seinfeld episode. Yeah. And then,
oh my God.
But then we somehow all got there. You know, I had the queso at Alamo. Alamo is always just so kind of funny with their menu where you're like, wait, am I having an actual meal here? But then you're like leaning and eating this like chicken Caesar salad in the dark.
Oh,
and
it's just, like, so greasy.
Yeah, I always
just
I feel like I was like
understand people who like
the food.
Alamo.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm happy, love to have the beer and like maybe some popcorn or like the fun appetizer, but I never get the full meal at the Alamo or Nighthawk.
You don't get the like steak au poivre with palm
trees.
Yeah, and they try to make a theme. They're like, here's the Love Lies Bleeding al pastor, like
it's bleeding.
Yeah, it's bleeding. And then you're just like shoveling this food and it's pitch black and you're obviously like getting it on yourself. And
their servers just like, excuse me.
It's always excuse me. And I feel so bad. And they have these huge like platters of just like tenders and like, you know, kale Caesars. You're like,
God, yeah.
And then as like Kristen Stewart is like plunging like period blood and diarrhea down like a toilet as they're serving all these food.
I'm alone, so it didn't take me much to figure out when I was gonna see this.
What? That's untrue. You're a single father.
Okay, that's true. But so luckily the distillery had like nothing going on until like 2 p.m. So I get to the distillery and I'm like hanging out with Arthur and I'm like, hey, I got to see this movie. Do you mind if I go like just now? It's like less than 2 hours. I should be back by like 1:30. He was like, yeah, fuck it. Go. So I went and it's me and a couple, two women. And they were like
a lesbian couple.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to presume anything. Anyway, so this lesbian couple is hanging out and they were much more vocally not into the movie than I was.
Really?
Yeah. And it's funny because I walked in.
That's entertaining in and of itself.
Yeah, oh, totally. And, you know, they were like, they were each independently under their own coat, which they were using as an independent blanket, but they were still like cuddled up with each other. And I like go to like the farthest back and I'm like sitting there and the movie starts. And I'm just like, yeah, they didn't really seem to enjoy it either. We all left and I'm looking at my phone and I'm thinking about this movie. And I think that's when I texted you, Robin, and I was like, you got some explaining to do. And I don't realize, but apparently I heaved out a sigh, just like just either because I came out of this movie that I didn't enjoy that much, and I'm thinking about all the other stuff I have to do, and I hear someone say my name, I look up, and it's, you know, dark in the hallway, and I'm just coming out of a dark theater, and someone is like running at me and then hugs me, and it takes me a second to realize that this is like a college ex-girlfriend of mine.
Okay, she like non-consensually touched you before you knew who she was.
I don't think it was clear that I didn't know who she was at first.
Okay.
And so
you were you like faking the like, oh my God, hi, without realizing who it was?
I think I was doing that because I'm like, this person clearly knows who I am, and I just am terrible with faces and names. But then I realized who it was, and then she hugs me, right? And then she's there with like her three kids and her husband to see the new Ghostbusters movie. But what the funny thing is she says,
I think you won this one.
I sort of. She says, I heard you sigh and I knew it was you from across the hall.
Oh, Christ.
And
wow.
I was like, first of all, didn't realize I sighed. Second of all, that's the most
depression.
That's
just
the
like
most depressing thing.
The room.
That is, yeah. Like,
oh, I remember your sigh from when we were together in college.
Right. I remember.
So withering.
It was the thing. It's not like I heard that, you know, that classic carefree Brian Rowan laugh or like anything. I would have even taken like a emphysema cough, and instead it was just like, oh, that like despondent, hopeless sigh that you're so famous for. I heard it and I knew it was you instantly.
The movie just didn't have enough underseat monsters for you. Unfortunate.
I'm sitting there. I'm like, I don't understand. When is she going to go to the Marianas Trench?
What did you say in response to?
How are your three kids?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, hey, like, what are you doing? I like, she lives in my neighborhood. Like, I am aware of them and I know them, but like, we don't hang out that much. And I hadn't seen her in like a while. But it was just weird that I was like, what the fuck is this? Who is this coming at me? Hey, what's up? Oh, it's you. Okay, all right. And then, yeah, like, we turn a corner and there's like her husband and her three kids. And I'm just like, hey, what's up? Like, you know, and then, of course, I'm like, how long do I have to speak? Like, can I leave? Like, I just saw a movie. I didn't
like
that much.
Love Lies Bleeding has taken me out.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's depleted me.
They were like, we just saw the new Ghostbusters. And I was like, did you like it?
Like, people actually saw this movie?
Right. Like, they went and they took their children who are all like within a couple of years at least of my daughter who is 7. And I was like, really? People are taking like small kids to see Ghostbusters? I guess so.
Wasn't that the whole thing of Ghostbusters that like little kids loved that?
Yeah.
I know they loved the first one. I was one of them. But like, I don't know. What was Ghostbusters rated? Oh, it was rated PG, but that's like an 80s PG. I don't know if
it's, an 80s PG is like
Raiders of the Lost Ark was PG. Like, let's be real. Be fucking for real.
You didn't take your daughter to see Love Lies Bleeding.
No, I thought about it for a second, but then I was like, I don't want to give her body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason.
What's funny, Robin, is that last week when we discussed going to see Love Lies Bleeding, I said I have like watched the trailer once. The thing that has like made me the most uncertain about whether I'm going to enjoy this movie is the poster. Because I feel like there is a certain amount of, I don't even know if fetishization is the right word, but there's a certain amount of exploitation in that the physique and the
pose. It's like you see her body and you barely see her face.
Right. And then I was just like, I just don't know if that's like a playing off of like the classic femme fatale, like dame in a slinky dress with a gun. But this is that. But like another thing. And I was like, I don't know. I just feel like that's going to go either way. And for me, it came in the wrong way. It was a bad way.
All I know is that some people went into this movie hoping it was blue as the warmest color. And I'm like, no.
That's bizarre.
Oh, wow. I don't know anyone who thought that. I think
I know a lot of straight men.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
I mean, there
not
was.
Not to brag, but.
But there was some hot sex scenes. So I guess, yeah.
Yeah, they were. Oh, sorry, Brian.
First one, maybe.
Yeah, later on, it got a little more. And that's where it gets a little more cult movie, where it's like, you know, they're having sex like after they murdered someone and like a cat is licking blood. And that's where the cult movie fun, I think, did come into play.
Every time you say cult, I think that like I missed a part of this movie where like Ed Harris was like the leader of a cult.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's kind of his vibe was like cult leader.
He's got the hair for it. Let's be real.
He's got the hair, the eating weird things.
Okay, you keep bringing up the eating weird things, but that was a rage bite. It's not like he was growing the bugs to eat them. He was just that.
He's not
mad.
Like, this is the new
I thought
protein.
He was. I thought he was like, this is my like freaky thing that I do. Because didn't he do it in the beginning too?
No, he was just holding it. He was like, I have to like fix its substrate. And, you know, he's talking about having to redo the bed for this Hercules beetle grub.
And, right. I guess as the more space I get from the movie, I'm like, I'm just kind of building up. I'm like, yeah. And so he was constantly eating bugs.
He was basically like a handful, like the Oogie Boogie Man.
That's really what that scene
legitimately
was.
That scene is like, I'm going to devour this animal, which I have raised from a larvae, much as I would like to devour my own child.
His house was really cool. I was like, okay, this is, I thought that was a good.
It explained a lot of the columns in the.
Yeah.
in the actual gun range, we're like, oh, neoclassical, okay.
What was I? I was like, Dave Franco's dead, that's cool. We're gonna hide the body, that's cool. Oh, the like she wants to get caught so that it'll be your dad, that's less cool. And then like Katie left, and I was like, okay, they're apart now. So like, are they gonna be apart for the rest of the movie? And everything with Katie in Vegas I didn't like. And then I liked when Daisy showed up and appeared to be like, oh, like she made you this stupid ass card with like a cigarette in it. Is it a cigarette or a joint? I guess it was a cigarette.
It was a cigarette because her whole thing was she was always listening to the like quit smoking tape.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is like kind of sort of cute. Like it would be interesting if like this was actually just like a sweet simple-minded is a terrible thing to say, but simple-minded person. And like now she's seeing like, oh, why did I like find an attraction with Jackie, who is like clearly like a fucking United Nations worth of red flags. But then instead Daisy became like a problem and had a lot of issues.
One of the red flags being that this girl like fucked her brother-in-law like in a car.
Right.
If it had been in a hotel, maybe that would be a pig.
So Kristen Stewart being mad that Katie fucks men, like I don't know the dynamics of that, but I could absolutely see her getting mad that Katie fucked this gross ass dude who also happened to be married to her sister. Which
to be fair, I don't know if she knew about the marriage.
No, she didn't. But like, I think Kristen Stewart was more like, ew, him.
It was more of just like, ew, him, like the day before I met you.
Yeah. Well, again, not her fault. Not Katie's
literally
fault.
Not her fault.
Katie did
she
say I
who she was going to meet.
Yeah. She's like, I hadn't even met you yet. And like, he was kind of on point when he said like, yeah, she really wanted that job, but I guess not as much as she wanted like an apartment and a personal chef and a gym membership and a bunch of steroids. Like, yeah, legitimate. Like, Kristen Stewart, honestly, a great girlfriend. Where do I find a girl like that?
Well, just make that be, like, make kind of a your own classic ad. Be, like, looking for someone to make me omelets. You have to own a gym. or manage your toxic father's gym.
Yeah.
or you have to not talk to the FBI, but still get the word out about your dad.
Yeah, I
want
was
you
very
to
confused.
Be a little haunted.
Yeah. look, I need a woman who's a little haunted.
I think what you need, Brian, and I'm not joking about this, you need like an old school ad from like the 1900s, just being like,
you
Man
want me to be
seeks.
Like Sarah Plain and Tall? Is
yes,
that what you're about
yes,
to tell
you
me?
Need Sarah Plain
yeah,
and
that's
tall.
What I'm thinking. You need to be like, I am a master distiller, lives yes. in DC, who like, loves film, seeking a gym owner.
Yeah.
who
someone
loves
to manage
to make
a gym,
omelets.
Parentheses, not my gym. I don't have a gym. well, I can't. Now I can't even remember what I was going to say.
You absolutely need Sarah Plain and Tall.
I would love Sarah Plain and Tall. She seemed like a nice lady.
Yeah, she was plain and tall, and she was a pioneer woman.
Yeah, who doesn't love a pioneer woman? I would
she
also
was played
go
by
for,
Glenn Close in the movies.
I don't. Okay.
a child's first Glenn Close.
Yes, baby's first Glenn Close. What was I going to say? Oh, I'll also take a woman who runs a gun range. I'd be fine with that too.
That would be cool.
Dude, that would be the best.
You have to have good arms for that.
Have you guys ever shot a gun?
Yes, they are heavy and they're loud.
I used to shoot guns competitively.
I'm jealous. Really?
Yeah, in middle and high school,
I was the riflery team.
Wow, yeah. You were on the rifle team?
I was not on a rifle team. I was a solo competitor. My school did not have a rifle team.
I was a solo.
You created an independent study.
Yeah, I was an LLC for shooting guns, and I've done pistol and like I own a couple of firearms as well. Yes, so it would be awesome.
I wanted to be on the riflery team, but then we moved.
Oh man, you weren't on like the ROTC, the JROTC.
I think I could have been good. I could have been a contender. Damn it! I think I have the natural talent for it. If I had imprinted on a young age, or at a young age.
And do you still blame your parents in therapy? You're like, ugh.
Oh, no. My dad loved guns. Like,
that makes a lot of sense.
Would buy Soldier of Fortune like every week.
See, we've talked a lot about toxic relationships on this episode. That's a toxic relationship with guns. I feel like.
Like a man who buys Soldier of Fortune.
Yeah. Like, that's not good.
I know. Once my dad threw one of his guns into like a waterway, and you have to be like, why?
Dad, why?
Robin, you know why. Like,
I know. This is why I always explain my childhood is like half woman. Oh my God, what is it called? Not Woman on the Verge. That John is Dielman. The wrong movie. No, I have not seen that one.
You haven't seen John Dielman?
No, I'm not one of those losers.
Made, according to that thing, yeah, Sight sure. and Sound.
Anyway, my childhood was Uncut Gems. Like,
oh, okay, damn.
Yeah.
Uncut Gems.
But like, I love my dad. Love my
well,
dad.
I'm impressed.
I'm from Long Island, and I moved to Massachusetts, so I live like the opposite life of you.
Yeah,
I my life was not Uncut Gems. I can't remember what we're talking about.
So you need to find a woman to open a gun rage with. Sounds like honestly,
yes.
Yeah, man seeks hair plain and tall and gunly.
I fell in love with a woman at a riflery competition once. She was incredible. Great shot. Tall, redhead.
Did you talk to her?
Pale.
Where is she now?
I don't know.
Is she a goth? Is she a redheaded goth?
You know, she could have been a goth really easily if she wanted to.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to come up with your perfect ad.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Or misconnection for this woman you met like years ago.
We might still be Facebook friends, if I'm being completely honest. We had a whole thing. I don't know. I'm not going to get into my... my longest.
Yeah, I'm not going to dox you.
This woman. We should talk about the movie some more. We've got Lily for another 5 minutes.
Do we have any final thoughts? I mean, it seems like we're all over the place. I actually, even though I had a lot of critiques, I did enjoy this movie quite a bit. Like, I had a good time, and I'm not going to let the haters get me down.
No, it's like... I kind of, you know, as Nicole Kidman says, maybe in her AMC intro, you know, like, we love going to the movie. We're bringing back the movies. And I was like, this is a great movie to see in theaters.
Is that what she's saying in the new
capital? It's the gist.
I don't know what she says, but it's something like that.
Our heroes are perfect and powerful or something. As Taylor Swift says, the haters are going to hate. You're just going to shake it off. Is that right, Robin?
That
Why are you
correct.
Asking me?
Because you were saying, I don't care what the haters say. So, and then.
Well, I didn't steal that from Taylor Swift.
I listened to a lot of Taylor Swift today.
Is it because you have a 7-year-old daughter?
Yeah. I mean, I also like Taylor Swift, but my daughter is definitely a big fan of hers. And I finally introduced her to the Eras Tour on Disney Plus.
Oh, wow. Fun.
Yes. Is that going to be the wallpaper of your life?
Probably, and I am kind of all right with it. I mean, like, there's worse people she could like musically.
I love Taylor Swift, and I'll say this. I went to go see Eras. I don't know if you guys have an episode on the Eras movie.
I have seen it, but we did not talk about it.
But this movie, as much as I'm obsessed with Taylor Swift and do know all the words to every song, I will say this was probably more fun to see in theaters than the Eras movie.
Interesting. My daughter was super excited because she'd never seen Taylor Swift perform. She'd only heard the music.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also great because every time a new song started, she would yell to me. We were at the distillery today and she was in the office at her desk. And, you know, she would call out to the bar. She'd be like, she's singing Cruel Summer now. And then one of the regulars was like, is your daughter a Swiftie? And Cora said, what's that? And then when he explained, she now is calling herself a Swiftie a bunch. And I'm like,
oh, no.
Could have done without that. But
whatever. Oh, because she didn't know the term.
She and like, I'm fine with her being a Swiftie. I just wish she wouldn't announce that she was a Swiftie.
You're not ready for her to have labels about herself.
At least not Swiftie.
I don't know what other thing you could be.
A deadhead. She could be a deadhead.
I see. Fine. Okay. I was definitely like a Spice Girl.
Like, did their fandom have a thing? Were they like?
I don't know. I mean, the fandom was very like girl power, but I don't think we had like a name.
Was it
for
like
ourselves.
Spice Nation?
Yeah, there was never a name. I luckily do have. As I always like forget, we had like in my apartment, my girlfriend has her original framed Spice World from the
I thought you were gonna say
poster.
The dolls.
No, but poster, and it's like the first thing you see when people like walk into our apartment. But I kind of I'm so used to it that I forget like people are seeing this massive Spice World poster, and it actually may be more of a shock.
Just the statement of the name Spice Girls, I now have Spice Up Your Life playing in the back of my head.
Me too, actually.
I don't know why.
Amazing song. An amazing film. Actors, singers, dancers.
Triple threat.
Yeah.
They could do it all. I've seen that movie a lot. Yeah, those were good times. So no judgment to your daughter. Just I'm...
My favorite was
Ginger. I just don't know enough about the lore, honestly.
Of
I think your daughter should be proud to say she's a Swiftie.
I'm happy that she is happy to express her feelings. I don't know. I like, you know, Taylor Swift's a good one. I like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I'm just very into the celebrity of like everything that was happening with the Super Bowl. I just wanted Kansas City to go to the Super Bowl because I wanted the celebrity stuff to just explode. And it did. It was perfect.
Yeah,
because I'm an agent of chaos, so I just was enjoying that.
All right. Well, anyway, Lily, do you have any final thoughts? I know you got to get going.
Final thoughts on Love, Lies, Bleeding. Yeah, go see it in theaters. I'm giving it 2.9 stars. Like, I feel like he was trying to do a lot of things. So I'm
two stars. It could be 2.9, like flapping jaws.
It could just be 2.9. Is this out of 4 or 5?
It's out of 5.
Okay.
But I think, you know, the point of going to the movies is, you know, to be shocked, to actually not enjoy, you know, a movie.
Yeah, Brian.
A perfect March release.
That yeah, exactly.
We'll kind of forget about it and then be like, oh my God, right.
Like, that know, was
that
this
bodybuilding 80s Kristen Stewart movie. Can't wait to see what she comes up with next. 2. And now I'm a Katie Bryan head.
Yeah, I would totally see something off of them. Like Twisters.
Yeah, Twisters, can't wait for it. I will just say 2.9 out of 5 comes to 58%, which is still a failing grade.
Wow.
It's more than half.
Yeah, true. I was thinking that was generous, but I guess when you put it at 58%, that sounds low.
That's how I think of these things. Usually when I think of stars and stuff, I'm like, 3 is still like, it was good.
Yeah, but I rate out of 4, so that's a
you're skewed a psychopath. System.
I'm European. What can I say?
Robin with her metric stars.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Lily, before you go, would you like to remind the folks at home where they can find you and your work online?
Yes. If you want more of my scintillating takes on Kristen Stewart, you can listen to my podcast, Celebrity Book of Stephen Lily. You can follow me on Instagram at Lily Blue Eyes.
And you know that I do because I'm embarrassing.
I hope you do. And Brian, Brian, I'm ready to follow your distilling.
Oh, okay, cool. Go to
good, you're in luck.
Schmidt Spirits or Inkwell.whiskey.
Can't wait. Yeah.
And like I said, if you're ever in DC, I will just give you a bottle.
Okay, perfect. I'll get on the Amtrak tomorrow morning.
All right, perfect.
Well, this was so much fun. I had a blast chatting.
Thank
Love
you
Lies.
For coming on. Yes. This was really fun.
So those were our thoughts on Love Lies Bleeding. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Film Stage Show, Facebook, The Film Stage Show. Go to patreon.com/TheFilmStageShow to give us your money. And email us podcast@thefilmstage.com. We are also brought to you by Mubi, the curated streaming service. Go to mubi.com/filmstage. That's mubi.com/filmstage for a free 30-day trial subscription. Robin Barr, what are we talking about next?
You
first
know,
of all, we're off
know.
Next week.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's Easter.
I should always be prepared when you come with this question to me, but then also things change.
Yeah, we've got a couple
rapidly.
Of things possibly on for April 7th, but...
we might do Monkey Man or maybe The Beast, depending
dude, the
on how we're
feeling. The trailer to Monkey Man before this movie was the best part of this movie.
Then let's just do that one.
I'm into it. I'm also hoping to go out and see Cabrini. So if I actually am able to do that, maybe I'll just like talk
oh, yeah.
to parents about it.
Okay. You have to tell me if my high school friend's wife has a speaking role in it.
I'll
give you her name offline.
100% do that.
I think she plays a nun.
It would not shock me in a movie about Sister Cabrini for that to be the case. So that's cool. Can't wait for that. That's about it then. Let's just tell the fine people at home where we can be found between now and the next time that we are in their ears. Robin Barr, where can people find you online?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at @robynbahr. The same username is on Letterboxd if you want to follow me there, although I don't really write reviews. I just put my ratings and I rate out of 4 stars and I gave Love Lies Bleeding 3.5 stars out of 4.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's actually shocking considering everything we just said. You were not that effusive about it, and now you're like, oh, it almost got a perfect score.
No, but to me, there's a huge like chasm between 3.5 and 4.
That huge. Fucking clearly. Jesus Christ. All right. Anyway.
It's very rare for me to give out a 4-star. Like,
yeah, but that means that the 3.5 is even more coveted because it's close. There's literally nothing else that could be done.
3.5 is like something pushed it over the edge of being just good.
That's crazy. Everything. I would have assumed that you said 2.5 to 3. This is making me want to completely. We got to get Lily back. We
squeakquel.
Yeah, we'll do Love Lies Bleeding the squeakquel. All right. Anyway, it's Jesus fuck.
Oh yeah, you can also sometimes. Sometimes find my writing at The Hollywood Reporter where I freelance sometimes.
Excellent. As for me, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, everything at Brian J. Rowan, brianjrowan.com. again, my whiskey can be found at inkwellwhiskey.com, and that's about it. Don't forget to go to thefilmstage.com to get every episode of this here podcast, and tune in next time when we'll be talking about probably maybe Monkey Man. Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger.